Praise God. Thank you, Lord. That's just a good point of contact. Get us all on the same page so that we're all in agreement. We're all pulling. We're all expecting. Expect the word to go forth. Expect to be changed. Expect something different. We don't sit there and say, hey, let's see what you got. Don't ever go into a service like that. Well, let's see if you can impress me. Let's see, you know, what you know. You probably won't get anything. People do that with God all the time. Well, let's see what, if you're God, you prove it to me. God doesn't prove anything to you. He's proven. He doesn't need to be proven. Same thing, when we come into a service, just be expecting. I don't care who it is that speaks. I've said that before. Down at Rhema, people would go. When Pastor Hagin's speaking, you know, people are there. And then on Sunday nights, he has his associates preach. Several different associates, maybe three or four of them. So they'd take turns preaching. Well, people being people, they get their favorites. Well, so-and-so is preaching. I don't know if I'll show up that Sunday. Well, who are you coming to hear? The man? I don't care who's preaching the word. If it's the word, we ought to esteem it. And you can get. I mean, God's used a donkey before. So he can use a donkey to speak. You know, he can use any one of us. So I don't care who it is speaking. We honor the word. We honor the Holy Spirit. He can speak. And if we're humble, if we're looking to him, we can receive from anybody. I don't care if they're 5 years old getting up and saying something. If it's the word of God, we can be, he can speak to us. We can be touched. So we honor the word and the spirit. Thank God. Well, you know, we've been in a series about family, and we've taken a break from that at times, you know, been led to talk about some other things. But today I want to talk about, maybe conclude it, maybe we'll go another one. But, you know, we've talked about the role of the husband, the role of the wife, children, you know, imparting somewhat how that relates. Today I want to talk about love and the family. I mean, we all heard about love, but love is the oil that makes everything go. When we're interacting with others, this is true in family. This is true with just each other. This is true of a church family. Any relationships, really. It's just the oil that gets everything lubricated to move freely and to work as it ought. And, you know, especially in the family. Because the family is the unit where you spend the most time. You know, whether you're single, you know, or around other people, your family, regardless of who they are, if they're still on the earth, usually ought to be, not necessarily always are, I mean, because things happen, but ought to be our closest people, the people that we interact with the most, the people that know us the best. And if we're talking about whatever it is, the people that we live with, how many of you know, whether even if it's a roommate or whatever, they probably know you better than other people? And you could just take it on, you know, roommates, whoever your living situation is. If you're in close quarters with another human being, it takes love to make that go well. Anybody found that out? It doesn't matter, you know. You get to, whether it's a roommate, you think, oh, that's, and people always say, don't be friends with your best, or don't be roommates with your best friend, because you may not be best friends after that. You think you like somebody, but you get in that kind of circumstance with them, you get to know way more than you ever wanted to know about them. And then when you get married, once you, you know, move in, live with the person, and start seeing some things, you find out stuff you never thought it would be that way. But that's the way it is, you know, when you find out about that person. We get to know each other. And it takes love, God's love, to make it truly work. Now, people can have decent relationships just with human love. You know, they can get some things to work. And, you know, God created Adam and Eve before the fall, and they were together. And so people, even unbelievers, can have good marriages. But they're not going to have the kind of marriage that they could have if they don't have God working in it. Because God is love. And it takes love to interact with people truly. And God's the only one that can put that on the inside of our hearts. We can have external things. We can do stuff to a certain measure as a human being. But when the love of God is in our hearts as a Christian, which it is, we're going to look at Scripture, and we let that dominate us, we let that affect our relationships, we let that actually determine our actions, you can have heaven on earth. It's not automatic, though. We have to know what has been deposited on us, and then we have to let it work. We're going to look at some of it. Let's just read, just on your sheet there, let's read Colossians 3:18 through 21. Does everybody have a sheet? Everybody has one? Because this is kind of what we had gone over. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And this is just kind of a flyover, a summary of the way the family ought to work. And we're not going to go into detail. Those messages are on the website if you want to listen to them. We're not going to go into detail, but this is kind of a flyover of the way the family ought to work. Wives, and he gives directions, a one-line bullet to each party involved in the family. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. We talked about that and what that means and what that doesn't mean. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. If he's going to give a bullet to each, he's giving you the overview, the most important thing. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, and then he comes back, if you're a father, you know, husbands is a different thing from being a father. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. So we talked about each of those things in detail. But the thing that makes all that stuff work together and work the way it ought is love. We have different instructions there. But if we do it and not do it with love, I mean, it's kind of hard. Husbands, love your wives, but you're going to have to love them. But it's not an outward show. I mean, we're not talking about some behavior on the outside. Like, well, this looks like love, so I'll do this. If it's phony, if it's fake, if it's just a shell, it's not going to work. We're talking about love from the heart, letting it flow outward. That will work. And so just because it says in verse 19, husbands, love your wives, well, people have all kinds of ideas about what that looks like. That's not real godly love. And we're going to look at what godly love is. And wives, submit to your husbands. That truly can only be done in love. And doing it because you're reverencing Jesus, and because you're reverencing Jesus as the head of the church, you're going to reverence the husband as the head of the home. And that takes faith to do that. Ladies, it takes faith to trust God in that man. And to do what the Word says, even when you don't feel like it. Children, obey your parents. Well, that all works. The children need to know that they're loved, first of all, just like we know that God loves us. But then they need to obey. They need to do what they're being told because it's going to go smoothly. And then fathers, don't provoke your children. Don't overdo it. Don't beat them down. Don't get to where they're discouraged. No, walk in love. And we're gonna look at some of those things as far as what that means. But again, on your sheet, don't turn there. We'll get into some other things. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, I wanted to read this in that context. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. I just wanted to mention this because all these things that we look at in like Colossians and that flyover that we just talked about, we all should be doing most of those things at some times. Now, the parents aren't going to obey the children, but it says submitting to one another. Submitting just means to yield. You don't necessarily agree. It's not your first choice, but you're going to yield. Well, it's not just the wife that's submitting, yielding to her husband. No, it says, and this verse is right before a whole bunch of what we've read in the past, a whole bunch of scriptures. In Ephesians 5:22, the next verse after this all talks about marriage. But the first thing he says here is submitting to one another. That means there's going to be times a husband submitting to the wife. And the children are submitting to the parents. There's times the kids want to do something, it's not out of order. Hey, yeah, we'll go there. We'll do that. Submitting to each other. So it works together. Ephesians 5:21 in the Living Bible says, honor Christ by submitting to each other. So all these things, and we're talking about love, we'll submit to other people if need be. Let's turn over to John 13. John 13:34. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. See, now, again, we just read wives submitting to your husbands, but the Bible says submit to one another. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, but it said, the Bible also says, love one another. It works together. We all have, if we're flowing in love and letting the Holy Spirit dominate, letting our renewed spirit dominate our lives, we're going to love each other. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. We've talked about that. As Jesus loved us. How did he love us? He laid down his life for us. We didn't deserve it. We weren't lovely. When we were dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians says, he died for us. So verse 34, as I have loved you, you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Did he say, I'm not knocking any of these things, but by miracles and signs and wonders, they'll know that you're my disciples? No. By the word of knowledge? No. By all the money you have? They'll know? No. He said, by the love you have one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We're supposed to be beacons of God's love and witnessing to him as families and as individuals. People should look at the way we interact as a family and the way we act on the job and just say, there is something different. You, and they don't necessarily put it this way, but they're thinking something is different. And what's it witnessing? That you're a disciple. That you serve Jesus. Because something's different. And what is it? You're the love of God. Now, I'm not knocking anything. I believe in signs and wonders. I believe in the power of God. But let's not put things out of order. What's the sign of a mature believer? It's that you walk in love. It's your love walk. Because over in Corinthians, Paul got on the Corinthians because they had all kinds of stuff happening supernaturally, but they were carnal. They let their flesh dominate them. Yet, they had all kinds of signs happening. And God will use anybody. Don't ever think that somebody gets up in a service or you go somewhere, you know, in some meeting and you see something happen and somebody's used and they give a prophecy or whatever, or somebody comes up to you and they don't look like much from the outside, or you know something about their lives and they give you something and it's dead on. That does not mean they're spiritually mature. That means God used them. Like I just said before, he used a donkey. He can use anybody in these things. That's why we don't exalt man. But don't, you know, if it's on and it's God, don't look at the vessel. Don't exalt them, but don't negate it either. You know, I had one of my instructors at Rhema said, you know, he was asking God about this. You know, how? Some guy, I think, he knew this guy. This guy was always getting up and saying something. And just half the time it's in left field. I don't know if it was in a service or whatever, but he was familiar with this man. He's always saying something. And then this guy came over to him or said something in a service or whatever and said something to, and it was dead on, right on. And this guy's like, how? God, what about that? I mean, this guy's a nutcase most of the time. How is that? You know, and what he just got was, you know, well, you know, if you always have your antenna up, once in a while you're going to tune into the God channel. Half the time, this guy's picking up stuff from everywhere and just spewing it out. But once in a while, he's gonna hit the jackpot. That does not mean he's mature. What means you're mature is you walking in love. You being mature in that regard. You walking in love with your fellow men. And we'll see that more. In fact, let's just turn over there while we're talking about that. We'll come back to this here. But let's go over to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 13. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, the love chapter. The Verse 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. How does that work? Evidently, you can have faith but not love people. That doesn't mean you're mature. That doesn't mean, I mean, he's saying that's basically nothing. Doesn't matter. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, doing it, see, that's a good work, that's something, that's a good thing. And though I give my body to be burned, we'd all think, well, man, that's something. But have not love, it profits me nothing. Those are pretty strong words. Basically, that knocks down almost anything people would exalt. Boy, this guy, man, he knows. He's really smart. Boy, this guy, he flows in the gifts. Boy, this guy, he's a man of faith. But if you don't do it in love, if you're not walking in love, it says you're nothing. It won't profit you anything. You are nothing. Because God is love. And people are going to know we're his disciples by the love we have, not by all those other things. Thank God. Let's go back over to 1 John. We'll come back to 1 Corinthians, maybe. We'll see if we'll get there. But let's go over to 1 Corinthians before we get... let's go over to 1 John. I want to get back to 1 Corinthians, but I want to say some other things first. 1 John 4. So the devil will try to puff you up with pride on some of these other things. And that's what he does to men. He puffs them up. Well, you're this. Well, you're that. You have this operating in your life. You're something. That just, what pride comes before what? A fall. If he can't keep you from doing something, if he can get you puffed up thinking it's you, thinking you're all that, boom. But if you're in walking in love, we'll read that. You won't do that. Love is a safeguard. Love will keep you on track. Love will get you where you need to go. Maturity is walking in love. The person that walks in love can handle all these other things correctly, operating in their life, and he won't get out of whack. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Doesn't say he loves. He is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God. So what is that? People talk about love all the time. Oh, you ought to love. You ought to love people. Just love. What's love? We're talking about the God kind of love. People call all kinds of things love. That is not love. Love is not just being mamby-pamby, you know, I just get along with everybody. No. Jesus didn't get along with everybody. Well, we ought to accept everybody's beliefs and religions. Jesus didn't. That's not love. If somebody's on the road to hell and you don't tell them, you call that love? I don't care if they reject us. Let them go to hell because I wanted to walk in love. That's the world's idea. Well, tolerance. No, tolerance. You know, being around somebody and not criticizing or judging them is one thing. Tolerating sin and tolerating stuff that is not right is not love. That's not God, because God is love. You think that's the way God operates? No. That's not the way Jesus operated. No, when he told them, he operated in love at all times. Don't you know that? Jesus was always in love, always walking in love. Let me ask you, how did he react to the Pharisees? Oh, guys, you're doing the best you can, I know it. No, you brood of vipers, you hypocrites, you whitewashed sepulchers. Was that love or not? People today would not call that love. People would say, oh, brother, you're out of love, you're in hate. No, that's our Savior. I mean, if this steps on your toes, you got to look at it, because this is the Savior, the Christ. These words are in red. If we're going to negate what he said, what else are we going to negate? I'm not trying to be hard. I'm just saying, well, our idea of love is not God's idea of love a lot of times. If you love your children, we talked about this. You have to discipline them. The world wants to take that out. Well, I would never do certain things to my kids. I wouldn't spank them. But we went through scripture after scripture. It clearly states that we ought to spank them. We love them. We need to discipline them so that they don't end up in a worse place. That's love. But Jesus always walked in love. He was always in love. Yet look at how he reacted to different people. Do you think he was walking in love with the Pharisees when he did that? Absolutely. Because they were so hard-hearted and full of themselves, that the only thing that had a chance of jolting them out of that was him speaking right through it. They were not going to react to him being, oh, you know, you guys are doing great. They'd run right over that. So he had to look them and say, you guys are off. You're wrong. What you think is right is wrong. And evidently, you know, they still killed him. But before God Almighty, they're going to have to answer. Or they did, you know, they're going to have to answer to God Almighty and say, you were told. And you hardened your heart. Then how did he react to other people? How did he react to the woman caught in the act of adultery? Did he act that same way? No. Did he get on her case? No. First thing he said, people came up, wanted to condemn her. He said, you that's without sin, you throw the first stone. And he got down and started drawing in the sand, the dirt. And he looked up and everybody had left. The older ones left first. Younger ones, it took a little bit to dawn on them that, you know, they had actually done something wrong. The older ones said, all right, I'm out of here. But then everybody's gone and he looks over and says, women, where are your accusers? They're not here. He goes, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, he was gentle with her. He knew where her heart was. So he treated her with love. That's love. But you don't treat everybody like that. That's what we ought to be. We ought to deal with people the way Jesus would deal with them. Some people won't accept that type. If he would have used that technique with the Pharisees, wouldn't have worked. But neither did he use the way he did with the Pharisees with her. It would have crushed her. She's already feeling condemned. And the God of the universe said, I don't condemn you. Just go, don't mess your life up anymore. Get up and go on. I'm on your side. That's our Lord. Velvet and steel at the same time. He's not a pushover. He doesn't beat people up either. That's love. He's a picture. You want to know what love is? Look at him. He's our example. Amen? Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. See, to truly love, you have to be born of God. You can't make this up yourself. You can't do it yourself. You can't generate it. In other words, well, I'm going to love. You can't do that. The God kind of love, what we're going to read, you cannot do it. You can't generate it. It's got to be placed in you. It's got to be deposited. And it is. When you're born again, the love of God is deposited in you. We're going to read that. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Let's turn over to Romans 5. Romans 5. This is good news. This is good news here. Because if God told us to do something and didn't give us the ability to do it, he's unjust. But the good news is, he's given us the ability to do it. It's been deposited on the inside of us. Romans 5. This is a great passage of Scripture. Romans 5, verse 1. Y'all there? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We could just stop there and just preach on that. Therefore, having been justified, declared righteous, made in right standing with God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, into this unmerited favor in which we stand and rejoice in hope or expectation of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance or endurance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope or expectation. Now, hope or expectation, what we expect, does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. I'm going to read verse 5 again. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, not what somebody calls love, not somebody's idea of love, not some religion's definition of love, but the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It's been poured out. Has been past tense, present tense, or future tense. It's past tense. Has been. That means we have it. We have it. We have it inside of us. We have it. Well, I don't feel like I love somebody. Who said anything about feelings? In the inside, in the heart, poured out in your head? Poured out in your big toe? No, poured out in our heart. Well, we've talked about that, our heart. Who's the heart? The inside man? 1 Peter? 2 Peter? One of those two talks about the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart, the spirit. In Romans, it says circumcision is of the heart or of the spirit. The heart, let's just turn over there real quick. Wreck just a couple of chapters. Romans chapter 2, verse 29. You're almost there. Verse 28, actually. Romans 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Now, I don't want to get into this right now, but just so you know, spirit in the Bible is the word pneuma, which is breath or spirit. There's one word. And you have to determine from context whether it's talking about the human spirit or the Holy Spirit. When it says Holy Spirit, there's no problem. When it says spirit, you got to determine from context. And a lot of times you could read it either way, but just look at this. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. Your heart, your spirit. Not in the letter. Those whose praise is not from men, but from God. Your heart. Let's go back over to Romans 5. Romans 5, 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So we have the Holy Spirit inside. And He has poured. He didn't say sprinkle. He didn't say dab. He didn't say use an eyedropper. He said poured. It's been poured out in our hearts. So we have it. We have the love of God poured out in our hearts. He didn't say we would feel like it all the time. He just said it's so, that we have the love of God poured out in our hearts. Now let's turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 17. So we say, well, why don't I feel like it all the time? Well, I don't feel like I love my spouse. I don't feel like I love my kids. I don't feel like I love my mom or my dad. You don't know what they did to me or whatever. What do we do then? We don't feel like it. But God says we have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. What are we going to do? Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, their emotions, what they can reason, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned in Christ. So you say, don't be like the Gentiles that walk. They don't know what they're doing. They're not born again. They don't have the life of God on the inside. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. He says that you put off the old man and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The new man. The new man's the one that has the love of God poured out. Not the old man. Your old man is dead. When you get born again, you're spiritually dead. That new, old man's gone. The new man, you're born again. You're born, I mean, that's a biblical term. You're born again, a new person on the inside. That new person has the love of God shed abroad, poured out into that heart. Now, we don't feel like we love. What do we have to do? We have to get our mind renewed so that it knows, I don't care that I don't feel like it or that I don't see it in my head that I have the love. God said the love of God is in there, so what do I have to do? Let that love come on the outside and dictate how my actions, what my actions are. That's what we need to do. I don't feel it. I don't see it. But God said I have it. Therefore, I'm going to agree with Him and act like it. That's renewing our mind, getting our mind, that old man, to agree with what is already true on the inside. This is how behavior changes. People say, well, that person, you know, somebody gets born again, your head didn't change. We talked about this, but just going over a little bit. Our mind didn't change. You didn't have your mind erased, thank God. Imagine if you got born again and everything was made new just like your spirit. Who am I? What did I do? What's my name? Your mind would be gone. It'd be a new mind. But that would come with some complications. Now, maybe we wouldn't mind having a new body, assuming that it was the right body that we wanted. I mean, you could get a new body and it'd be something that's worse than you have. You wouldn't want that. But no, the fact is we don't have to worry about that because we have what we have at this point. You get born again, your body's your body. It doesn't change. Your mind doesn't change, but your spirit's new. So our job is to let the newness in the spirit, and has the love of God in there, come out and start changing our behavior. Our behavior will catch up. If we'll look to the Word, if we'll put the Word in us, what's inside will come out. It's a principle of God. We receive everything that we get from God on the inside first. And so verse 24, and you put on. Now look, verse 23, you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. See, we're renewing our mind right now. You know that? That's what's happening right now. This information of God's Word is coming in, enlightening our mind. Now we have a choice. We're going to let that new knowledge determine what we do or shut it down. Right now, the renewing of our mind's happening. Now this isn't all there is to it. We keep the Word before us. We're going to be tempted to go back and do stuff just like a computer program. We're going to be tempted to go back to our old programming. We have to say, no, wait a minute. That's not what I want to do. That's not me. I have the love of God. I want to knock that guy's head off. I want to slap him. But do you know that's when you're walking in love the strongest is when you want to slap somebody and you don't? Most people wouldn't think, see, they think if you're walking in love, oh, you just have this flowery feel. Oh, boy, I just love you. Oh, if you're married, oh, I love you. You're so great. You know, we're talking about marriage or family. Oh, everything is so great. Our family just works together. Oh, isn't it great? I just love going home. That's not love. That's your feeling love. And see, people base whole relationships on that. That's the That's, you hear that on the radio. People talk about this, you know, times past. Growing up, hear these songs, love songs. Ah, they just, I love you, you make me feel so great. And they try to base a marriage on that, and it all falls apart. Because there's nothing there. Because what if you don't love them, you don't quote-unquote love them, you don't like them, they don't make you feel good, then what are you going to do? Then is when love starts. Then you find out if you actually love the person, because loving is not what you can do for me, it's what I can do for you, a la Jesus. We didn't do anything for him before he died for us. Right? So when you feel like knocking somebody out and you say, no, love of God, I'm going to love you anyway. That love is working in your life right now. You may not feel like it. Made you feel like tearing somebody's head off. You're on the freeway. You just feel like, that guy just cut me off, man. I want him. Man, if I had a lead car, I could just stop right here and you'd plow into me. Boy, I had a tank right now. Boy, you'd be in trouble. You never thought that? I mean, I used to, when I was little, think if I had just a targeting mechanism, you know, heads up mechanism on my, in my car, a lot of people would be vapor. If I were in charge, you know, that's stupid. That's wrong. But that's not, but inside, if I'm feeling like that, but I say, you know, but bless God, I'm not going to act like that. I'm not going to let that dominate. You're walking in love. So, when we're renewing our mind, we may have times where we feel like, our old programming wants to come out. I want to say that. Ooh, I want to say it so bad. But I'm not. And the more you exercise that, just like a weight, you don't start off, you know, bench pressing 300 pounds, if ever. You know, that's a lot of weight. But, you know, you don't just start there, man. You get hurt trying to do that. You start out with what you can. You just start exercising that muscle. You start exercising, loving a person. You let those old habits fall off. They'll go. How does that come? Exercise. Oh, man, I want to say it, but I'm not going to. Just got a little stronger. Next time it comes, oh, I want to say something. Oh, but I'm not going to. Next time, I'll let it fly. Oops. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Amen. God, I'm sorry. I messed up. I shouldn't have done that. Thank God you love me anyway. All right, I'm going on. I'm resetting. Now, next time I get a little strong. Pretty soon, your mind, you're renewing it to where this old programming is gone. This new way of operating, you don't even have the temptation as much anymore. It might be there sometimes, but it gets smaller and smaller and smaller to where your mind's renewed in that area. Not a temptation anymore. That's the way it happens in every area. Every area. We just let the love of God dominate us, and we'll get to where we need to go. Pretty soon, we don't even recognize ourselves. We've changed. We start letting that love of God that's on the inside come onto the outside, and it's working in our lives. And people are saying, wow, you've changed. You know, especially if you're living with somebody close quarters. Wow, it's different. How'd that happen? God, I just let what was inside come out. And as we do that in our families, as we let that happen, the old stuff, that old man, it'll drift away. The old programming, it'll fall off. And as we just focus on Him, just let Him be exalted. Just, man, you feel, I can't do it. I can't do it. Man, I've tried. I've fallen on my face 4 or 5 times. I've said, I can't do it. No, that's agreeing with the old thing. That's the best time to say, I can do it because He said it's in there. So either He's lying or I'm misunderstanding which one's right. I think I'm misunderstanding something. I'm going to choose to agree with Him, so I'm going to go ahead and say, I can walk in love. And that's when you speak it. It's not just for healing and stuff. We can say, no, I love my spouse. I love my wife. I have patience with my children. I walk in love with them. I am a love person. I am born of a love God, and I let the love of God dominate me and come out. And we just start speaking that. Something happens on the inside of it. Try it. Say, I'm a love person of a love God. God is my Father. He is love. His love is shed abroad in my heart. I love people. I'm patient. I'm kind. I'm long-suffering. I don't promote myself. I'm not haughty. I'm kind. I'm gracious. Thank God. I get along with people. I believe the best of people. I'm dry. You guys are falling off. I believe the best of people. Thank God. All right, let's turn here and close with this. We may pick up and talk about this more next week, or this may be it, but let's just read this, leave you with this thought on your sheet there. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. This is a familiar passage. Man, if you've ever been to a wedding, you've probably heard this passage. But you look at it in some different translations, it brings out what is really being said. And this is what God's love is. And so as we leave, you know, some of the things I was just saying, well, these are the things that have been shed abroad. They're in there. This is who we are. And if we'll let this dominate us, and when something opposed to this comes in our life, we say, no, this is who I am. This is a great thing to just keep in front of you. Verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, the Living Bible. Look on your sheet. Love is very patient and kind. You could write this out, put blanks in, just say, I am very patient and kind. And go on. Love is never jealous, never envious, never boastful or proud, never haughty or selfish or rude. Love does not demand its own way. It is not irritable or touchy. It does not hold grudges and will hardly even notice when others do it wrong. This is who I am in the inside. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. If you love someone, you will be loyal to him or her no matter what the cost. You will always believe in him, always expect the best of him, and always stand your ground in defending him. I love that last clause. We look at that when you think about family, people you love. If you, and this is the way God looks at us. You think of when, if you ever have any thoughts that God doesn't love you or somehow he's mad at you or he's condemning you, this, he is love. This is the definition of how he looks at mankind. So when we, if there's thoughts that come in and say, oh, God's not pleased with you, you look back at this and say, well, this is the Bible says God's love, and this is what it said love is. So this is the way God sees me. And you just start renewing your mind with this. No, God, and I like this verse 7, think about God looking at us this way. If you love someone, if Jesus loves us, you will be loyal to him no matter what the cost. He'll be loyal to us, and hasn't he already proven that? No matter what the cost. You will always believe in him. He always believes in us. Always expect the best of him. He always expects the best of us, and will stand your ground in defending him. Glory to God. That's the way our Father looks at us. And if we'll take that stance with our family, the people that God has put around us, if we'll say, God, I don't care what it looks like. I love that person. I'll be loyal to him no matter what the cost. I'll always believe in him. I always expect the best of him. And I'll always stand my ground in defending him. That's like we're forming a tight circle, faced out. The devil has a very hard time penetrating that. And we'll get to where God needs us to go. Our family will be strong. It will be tight because we're walking in love. His love. Amen.